This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
It's the long weekend kicking off summer. Is your car ready for summer road trips? From changing your oil and filter and topping off fluid to inspecting your vehicle's braking system and replacing cracked wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the thousands of parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices to get you on the road. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is a real treat. He's an NBA Hall of Famer, Rick Barry. Rick, welcome into the show.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, I got to get people to clarify this. It's not just you, it's everybody. It's actually the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. The NBA doesn't have it like football has their Hall of Fame. The NBA actually supports the Naismith. So it's just Basketball Hall of Fame, is easier to say. So just so for future reference for everybody.
Fair enough. Well, we have Basketball Hall of Famer Rick Barry joining us. Rick, you played for both the Rockets and the Warriors. What fun it is to get you on to talk about that series. What are your observations thus far?
Well, the nice thing is that regardless of who wins, I could still be happy, although I'll be happier if the Warriors win since I played for them and was on a championship team. But I think the Rockets blew a great chance in the last game. They came in with, you know, obviously needing to win a game, and they still have another opportunity coming up here in a couple of days to get their home court advantage back. And the Warriors came out, and the Warriors were not playing well. The Warriors were not shooting the ball well at all. None of the three guys were shooting the ball well in the first quarter. They were horrendous. They didn't play particularly well. And the Rockets, unfortunately for them, were worse. They didn't play well at all. And they blew a great opportunity to perhaps get a victory and earn the home court advantage back. And so now they're faced with a very difficult task after getting their butts handed to them. And just destroyed in the second half of the game, especially. And they've got a team that's not going to lay down and not be ready to play like Game 2. I thought Game 2, the Warriors were not mentally ready to play that game. And as a result, the Rockets played, I thought, exceptionally well and beat the Warriors handily. I don't think you're going to see a Warriors team come out and play the way they played in Game number 2. You're going to see a Warriors team that came out and played with the type of intensity they had in Game number 3, especially the way that they performed and played late in the second quarter and into the third quarter. That's the Warriors team that the Rockets are going to have to combat, and I think they're going to have a very difficult time beating them.
I agree with you, Rick. In question today, so Mike D'Antoni, Houston's coach, said the pressure's on the Warriors. That's what he said this afternoon. And I don't know if this came before or after this announcement that Andre Iguodala is probably not going to play tomorrow night due to a knee injury. Does that change what you think is going to happen in Game 4 with the Warriors dominating, hopefully, again?
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then certainly it will diminish the efficiency of the Warriors because Andre has been a very integral part of their success. And so that changes things. But then they have other people on the bench who come in and who can play well. So it would be a lot different if it was one of the big three, if it was Clay, Steph, or KD. And it looks as though, you know, Steph broke out of whatever slump he was in.
Yeah, they unleashed that beast, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty convincingly he broke out of that. And so if he's playing at that level, and here's the thing that's scary about it, Clay Thompson didn't have a great game shooting in the last game. So my whole thing, when you play the Warriors, you have to hope that two of their three guys are having bad games because they could still beat you, especially at the Rockets. If the Rockets aren't at their best and two of those three guys are on their game, they're going to have a hard time beating them. If all three are on their game, I don't think they can beat them. And so in both games that were won by the Warriors in this series so far, only two of the three guys really shot the ball exceptionally well. I'm talking about especially from threes. And Clay shot like 40% in the first game, and KD was on fire. And then in this game, it was KD and Steph without Clay. So, you know, you just have to pray that two of those three guys aren't doing well. And so if two of them do it and the Rockets are at their best, the Rockets still have a chance. But they have to play their best. They can't play the way they played in Game 1 or the way that they played in Game number 3. They have to play the way they played in Game number 2 to have a chance.
We're talking to former Rocket and former Warrior, Rick Barry. So, Rick, one of the observations we've had in this series, and in fact it's true of the Cavaliers and the Celtics, is there seem to be no close games. And I don't really know how to explain that. Is the emotional swing game to game that pronounced? Is it that the players get up and down and they just can't stay at an even plane? How do you explain the one-sided nature of these games?
Well, here's the thing. It's the most difficult thing to for an athlete, a professional athlete, or for any athlete to do, is to maintain focus when you're on the court the entire time. Here's the deal. As a coach, I could get a player to play hard because he knows if he doesn't play hard, he's not going to play, right? Putting the effort forth. But if you're playing hard, but you're not focused on what you should be doing and doing it the correct way, you're a half a step late. And if you're a half a step late in basketball, you're history, okay? You just can't afford to do that. So that's kind of what happens, and it really kills you on your defensive end. It makes things easier for the other team. So what you've been seeing is teams lacking the ability to stay focused and be ready to play the game the way they need it to play. You saw that happen for the Warriors for sure in game number two, and I think a little bit you saw that for the Rockets, certainly in game number three. They weren't really ready to get out there and get it done. They were making mistakes. They were turning the ball over. And, my gosh, I can't remember seeing a game in the playoffs ever where one team missed so many point-blank layup shots next to the basket as the Rockets did in its last game. It was unbelievable.
I think it was 19 or 17, something crazy like that.
Oh, no, it's an insane number of misses that they had that could have been points on the board that could have totally changed the whole outcome of the game, perhaps, especially early on when the Warriors were struggling so much. It was astonishing to me, to be perfectly honest. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how the Rockets come out and play in this next game and who's going to fill in for Andre and what's going to happen with that. There's always little stories within the story, and those are ones that will be interesting to see how they play themselves out in this next game.
And, Rick, we're talking with former Hall of Famer, NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, eight-time All-Star Rick Barry. Draymond Green, everyone knows about the big three and the offense that they bring. To me, he is the X factor. And how do you feel about that? Do you think he is really the difference maker as far as on the court and off the court?
Well, he's kind of the hub. He's the guy that he's the energizing bunny. He's the guy that plays the tough defense. He's so smart to have done what he did. Once KD joined the team, I said this 2 years ago, that Draymond needs to just now not even worry about his offense. Mm-hmm. Rebound, play the tough defense, and be a facilitator. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's getting a lot of triple-doubles. He's not scoring a lot of points. But he's capable of getting you 20 points or more as well. He doesn't care about that. He just cares about winning. So he's doing the little things, the dirty work that needs to be done, and he is kind of the hub. The other guys are the big stars doing it, but the differentiation is in KD. I mean, there's nobody can match up to KD. There's never been a player of his size who plays the game the way he plays, who can shoot the three, who can go to the basket, who's a great free-throw shooter, who's becoming a facilitator and getting the balls to people, which he didn't do when he was at Oklahoma City. He's just made himself so much better a basketball player, and he's playing in a system that I told people when he first went there 2 years ago, I said, KD is going to get more easy shots than he ever dreamed of having in his life that he's never experienced before. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's what happens when the Warriors play. Here's another reason why I think the Rockets have to be concerned. They got their butts crushed. The Warriors only had 20 assists. For the Warriors, that's not a big total. They usually pass the ball and do a lot more things. And when they're playing that kind of basketball and they're shooting the ball well, that's when they are totally and completely unbeatable, especially if they're playing defense.
Rick Barry joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Okay, let's shift gears to the Cavs and the Celtics about to tip off. What adjustments do the Celtics need to make after that debacle in Game 3?
Well, they fall into that category we just got done talking about, being ready to play. You know, they got a two-game lead. They came out there and thought, you know, it's going to be another easy thing. And they're playing against a veteran team that was not about to get embarrassed, a team that proved even last year that they're not about to get embarrassed, because what they did in Game 4 when they could have been swept, they came out with great pride and played a heck of a game to win game number 4 against the Warriors last year. And so they came out ready to get after it, and everybody contributed. And what the difference was is that they made an adjustment where the other players finally stepped up and gave some help to LeBron. He didn't have to score 40-something points for them to have a chance to win. He only got 20-something. But what did he do? He became a great facilitator. I think he had more assists in that game than he's had in any playoff game, 12. And so, yeah, they played outstanding basketball. They were ready for the challenge. They knew they had to win that game, just like they know they have to win this next game tonight as well in order to get back to Boston, because they still got to find a way to win in Boston to win the Eastern Conference Championship. So it's still all on them. But Boston, being a young team, that may have been an eye-opening and learning experience for them. Hopefully for their fans it is, and for the team. they have to go out and be ready to play and meet the challenge. It's a matter of, like, again, being focused, going out there and playing the way that you know you're capable of playing, but doing it consistently for as many as 48 minutes as you can possibly muster.
I agree. And this whole comparison with MJ and LeBron, like, one's a small forward, one's a two guard. It's not the same position. How
Michael,
do you do this?
No, Michael's the best two. LeBron's the best three to ever play the game. It used to be Jerry West at the two until Michael came along.
How would you like playing in today's NBA with the three-point shot?
Well, I had the three-point shot at some time, but we didn't have it growing up and learning to do it. I was trying to. I got better. I got up to about 33%, which is equivalent to 50 from twos, and it's certainly, you know, certainly more than acceptable. I mean, to me, the criteria is if you can't shoot at least 30% from threes, you have no business ever taking a three.
Yep.
And 33%, again, equates to 2 point, a 50% shooting, which is very good. But, you know, nowadays guys are shooting. I know if I were playing today and that was part of the game, I would not be happy if I was not a 40% plus shooter from threes. I mean, that would be my goal. The really outstanding shooters shoot 40% and above. And so, yeah, if it's used properly, players, the teams are starting to figure out how to use it properly. You can still get hurt with it. The perfect example is, you know, two seasons ago, the Warriors killed themselves at the three-point shot in Game 7 of the Finals. The last 4 minutes and 20 seconds, the only shot they ever took was the three-point shot in a close game. They killed themselves. If they were making it, they would have won, but they missed it, and they wound up losing as a result. And so that's what it comes down to. It's just using it judiciously. But if you pass and move and try to go to the basket, go inside out, that's always the easiest way to do it instead of being an outside in play team. And that gets you in trouble. And just, you know, even last night in the game, I mean, they got the Warriors were fortunate that both teams shot horrible for 3-point range. They were jacking up some horrible shots. I mean, some of the shots they took were like 9 feet behind the damn 3-point line, and they're not even coming close to making it. I mean, that's not the kind of shot you want to take. You want to take a good shot, a shot that gives you a great opportunity, a good look. You don't want to be jacking up shots with guys in your face and standing 6 feet behind or more behind the line. That's not good, sound, fundamental basketball. So if it's not used properly, the three-point shot can kill you. But if you use it properly and you have guys who can shoot it, it's an incredible weapon to have. That's why the Warriors are so tough. There are three big guys, the three key guys we've been talking about, all can shoot the three. What's happening for the Rock with the Cavaliers that's so good for them is that LeBron has been shooting the ball better than he ever has. I watched it very carefully because a few years back I made a big comment about his horrible shooting form, and they you know, they made a big deal about it. I said, well, I've been talking about this for years. You guys are finally picking up on it. 3 years. I started this 3 years ago saying about that, and he's got his elbow in, and he's a much better shooter now. He's still not where he needs to be because he's not an 80% free throw shooter, but when he's shooting the ball that well and shooting those crazy fadeaways that he's making, but as a coach, I can live with LeBron James beating me, shooting those shots. What I can't live with is LeBron James dribbling down the floor and going in and getting dunks with nobody stopping him. No player, if a team is playing tough team, fundamentally sound defense, should ever be able, in a set deep offense, get to the basket without being challenged.
Fair enough. That's Rick Barry. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
I got to get a plug in for you because it's not the plug in because I got two things very quickly. GoGYV.com, GoGYV.com/R Barry. Just listen to the video, folks, and make your own decisions based upon it. I got off of prescription drug using it. It's a money back deal. It can help improve your life. Just look at it. And the other one is a gift for you. Go to Rick24.com, and you can get yourself a $200 free travel benefits card that will save you $200. Check it out. It's my free gift to you. God bless.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rick.